And the missus is finishing up on Christmas, and as you know, my Grinch has been with me the last couple weeks, which is awesome. He's nice and furry and warm. But we're going to do some announcements, and then from announcements, I'll pray, and then the Bunn family will come up for Advent, and we'll start worship. So we'll start with one thing is there's a men's group, 7 p.m., Monday nights, Evangelical Church in Chadwick. Please, men, if you're not doing anything, please go. Thing is health concerns. If there is a prayer request sheet, please grab the sheet, go over the sheet and pray. As a church, individually, we're weak, but as a church, together, we're strong. So prayers are awesome. Lift up your prayers. Pray all the time. There's a lot of people hurting right now. They always hurt around the Christmas season. Their hearts are just heavy. A lot of people with cancer. Little Miss Emily Dare, I talked to her father the other night on a fire call. She's doing well, but she's having some issues. She's having another chemo and having some issues with her feet. So please pray for her. Health concerns, Geese's, John Pohl, Carol Katzenberger, Ruth Brooks, Don Bolkins, Ivan Miller, Billy Eads, Elizabeth, please pray for her. I hear she's doing better, but please continue praying for her. Danetta, the Sobel family, those with cancer, like I said, Tim Law, Kathy, Amy, other things, families. That's huge right now. Please pray for our families. Pray that we stick together. Pray that we come together, especially with the holiday season coming again, like I said. Those in the nursing homes, pray for our presidencies, our nation. We need to continue praying for them. Now, the last thing I'd like to talk about is on the back in the narthex is a tree, and you'll see these little cards. There's not that many cards there, and there's a lot of us here, so I know as an awesome church, we can all grab a couple cards, fill them out, and go and bless the community. What they are is on the cards, it says boy or girl, and it says an age, and it says a size. Below that, it says clothing items. You'll see that here, right there. It says clothing items. Then right below that is a number. For instance, this is 7 Bravo 1. Next to
the hope that we have in him, please help us to remember what you did for your people and for us. When you sent Jesus to be our Savior, we love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
How great. Oh,
wasn't too bad. Well, good morning. It's nice again. It's nice to see everybody. Today, I'm going to talk about something that's plagued me forever, and it's called anxiety. Believe it or not, it's normal. It's a normal feeling we're supposed to have, and some of us say bah humbug and so on and so forth, but the article says it is. And I'm going to read about that a little bit, and we're going to go from there and get into today's word. But by no means am I saying if you have issues with anxiety, take and throw your medications away. I'm just saying this is what's helped me over time, and it's understanding who I am, and most of all, understanding who our Lord is, and who our God is, and who our Savior is, and everything He's done for us, everything He's going to do for us, everything He wants to do for us, and it's endless, and you can go on and on. And when I think about it, I get excited. Because our God is an awesome God. He's a Father that loves us. He's a Father that wants us to talk to Him. He's somebody who wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to pray. He wants us to reach out to Him. In return, we're blessed. So for me, in the times when anxiety is heavy in my heart and things are going awry, and just, it's like this. It's like the noose is around my neck. And as the anxiety starts kicking in, the noose gets tighter and tighter, and it chokes out all my joy. You know, it's an emotion that can weigh heavy on us. It's an emotion that can control us in many ways. And the best way I can relate to it is this, is as I chef for many years, and when you have a party of, like, we'll say 300, right? And you know how much you have to have, you know, 2.5 ounces of protein by 300, blah, 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 gives you the meat. And then you got to go, well, I don't want to do that. I want to offset with starch and carrots. And oh, by the way, I don't have the staff and I have to get it done by tonight. You know, the emotions start kicking in and you're like, how am I going to do it? What do I have to do? How? And you get your checklist and you're trying to check it all off. But I'll put it in more terms. When you allow anxiety to take control of your body and your emotions, ultimately you hurt the ones that are around you. This is not what God wants for us. We're going to go through Psalms 24 and Matthew 25. And I was talking to Mom weeks ago, and she's like, well, how do those two relate? Mom, I promise you, I love you. Somewhere or another, they are going to relate. She gives me a thumbs up. Love her. All right, so here we go. We're going to read the article. Some of the symptoms of anxiety is this. How about restlessness, a feeling of being on the edge? Yep, I got that one. How about uncontrollable feeling of worry? Yep, I got that one. How about increased irritabilities? I don't have that one. And my in-laws laugh. How about sleep difficulties? Not being able to fall asleep? Or how about staying asleep? And a 3 o'clock potty break doesn't count. Some of you got it, I heard you. So here's what the article says. Anxiety is normal and often a healthy emotion. However, when a person regularly feels disappropriate levels of anxiety, it might become a medical disorder. Anxiety disorders form a category of mental health diagnoses that lead to excessive nervousness, fear, apprehension, and worry. When an individual faces potential harmful or worrying, it triggers feelings of anxiety. They are not only normal, but necessary for survival. Since the earliest days, humanity, when a predator approaches of incoming dangers, it sets off alarms that allow aggressive actions. These alarms become noticeable in the form of raised heartbeat, sweating, increased sensibility of your surroundings. Sounds like a little bit that some of us go through. Danger causes a rush of adrenaline, hormone, chemical messages to the brain, which triggers anxiousness, reactions, and processes called fight or flight response. This prepares humans for physical conflict, to physically confront or flee potential threats to safety. For many people, running from a larger animal in danger is less pressing concern. It goes further to say this, anxiety. When we come to the four-way stop out here, do we just proceed through? No, we stop, right? What do? We stop, we look left, we look right. What do? We get ready to proceed. We look left, we look right. We go through the stop sign. Why? Because we don't want to get hit by a car, right? But sometimes it's the same scenario. When we come into a situation, is all of a sudden our pulse will start pumping in our neck, and all of a sudden you feel it on both sides of your neck. Then all of a sudden it gets into your face, and you start getting fleshy, and you can actually hear your pulse in your ears, and you start sweating. Anybody face that ever? Or am I just the weird one with a Grinch on his neck, right? You know what I'm talking about. The key is to understand the triggers. The key is to understand what is coming and to be able to control it. For me, folks, it's been Psalms 24 and Matthew 25. Is that those times in my life I can go, whoa, wait a minute, John's about ready to get angry at his wife for nothing, or John's about ready to get angry at Josh or one of his sons for nothing. Why? It's because I've got the fight or flight emotion kicking in. Why? Because I don't want to go to work. Why? Because I've got a party of 300. I've got three people that have to help me prep for a party of 300. And if I don't get that party right, guess what? Who has to pay for it? John does. But it doesn't matter. We'll go into a farmer's scenario. I'm not a farmer, so again, please forgive me. You go in, you put everything on. You get your stuff that you got to do. I'm sorry, the seeds. And then you nurture it. And this crazy guy here would have a straitjacket. Because why? Anxiety's kicking in. Am I going to get the bushel weight that I need to so I can pay my bills? Right? Psalms 24 says this, 24:1-2. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it in the world, and all who live in it. For he founded the seas and established the waters. David is talking here of Genesis, that God himself said, oh, by the way, I want waters. Oh, by the way, I want waters to separate. Oh, you know what would be awesome? How about the birds? Let's make birds. You know, all the ladies love flowers. I think they should have flowers. Here you go. Why? Because God knew before, during, and after. David is taking and put the vision of the kingdom at hand so we can see and understand. It's the mental side. Step one is the mental side. We have to be able to control our mental side. We have to understand that who is the creator? Who is the one who formed everything? Who is the one who brought everything together? Who spoke it into existence? Who is the one that uses the universe for a throne and the world for his footstool? How awesome is that vision? That every fiber, that every part of our being, God has orchestrated, that he's put it together. I have three if statements here. If we understand that God created everything by speaking it into existence, and if we have the faith to understand that all things were made through him and that he controls everything in the universe, and if we can come to grips and understand that God has control of everything, what fear do I have? Where is my anxiety? If I can come to the thought process and understand that from the time I get up and put my fuzzy slippers on Saturday morning, and go out and sit at the coffee table and have some coffee, if I can understand that before my feet hit the bed and they get out of the floor, if I can understand that one process, where is my anxiety? I should have none. Because God has orchestrated it all. The second step is this. Take control of your physical side. The mind controls the emotions, and it's hard to control. It's not easy at the beginning to control it. It's not easy to understand at the beginning what's going on and what I have to do. You have to allow the mental side to control the physical side. The mind works consciously and subconsciously. Slow your mind. Years ago, I used to fight. And my sensei said, slow down, slow your mind. Slow your process. You're going to get in trouble. And you know he was right. Slow your thought process down. understand what needs to be done. It's like a recipe. A through B, what do you have to do? Follow the recipe, slow your mind. If you slow your mind, the physical side will follow. Train yourself that everything you do and everything you think about is the Word. Rest in the peace of the Word. In the times of restlessness, pull out God's promises. Pull them out. Psalms 24, 3 through 7 says, "Who can ascend the mountains of the Lord? Who can stand in the holy place? The one who, with clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in idol, swear by false gods. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God the Savior. Such as the generations who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob." Has anybody seen Zootopia here? Yeah? Anybody? Grandmas, grandpas? If you haven't seen Zootopia, you have to see Zootopia. David is playing kind of the role here that you're going to see. In Zootopia, there's Judy Hopps. He's this adorable little bunny who her whole life wants to become a police officer. And everybody tells her that she can't do it. And so guess what? She goes to academy and she does well. And she ends up graduating top of her class. And she goes to Zootopia. And there she meets this shifty little guy. His name is Nick Wilde. He's a fox, cunning little fox. Calls her a dumb little bunny. I hear giggles back there. And what happens is Judy and Nick, they team together and they end up breaking this case. And they get the case and it's done. And she goes up in front and there's a pulpit, like, kind of like here, and she's doing an interview. And she's nervous. And she all of a sudden starts talking to Nick and I don't know what to do. And Nick's like, you got this. Here's what you do. You lead them. You make the question and you answer it. So she's like, well, I don't understand. So he starts going on and makes a question and answer. That's kind of what David did just here. He says, "Who ascends the mountains of the Lord? Who stands in a holy place?" And he goes, "The one with clean hands. The one with a pure heart. The one who does not trust in false idols or swear by false gods." That's the one who does that. That's the one who can go into the area of holiness. That is the one who can stand there and have the answers. That's the one who can be there with God. And the only way we can get there is through Jesus. That's it. That's the only way you will ever rest yourself. That is the only way that you can get yourself to a point of standing on firm ground where you go, hey, I'm cool. God, I'm good. You get up in the morning, you get dressed, you're like, God, I'm good. I know who you are. I know where I'm at. Hey, let's go to work. Why? God's in control. I'm only there 8 hours. Guess what, boss? You got me for 8 hours. I love you, man. Let's get to work. What has to get done? You get done what you can get done. Calm yourself. Calm yourself. Put yourself at peace. When anxiety is kicking in and you feel out of control, relax your emotions. Sensei, calm yourself. I got my GED eventually. You know that? Here's what it stands for, GED. Everybody here should have it. If you're saved, you should have your GED. Because it's going to get you somewhere eventually. Isn't that what we're here? Guess what the GED is? Godly equation for development. That's our GED. And you know what? It goes through character. Character is this. Character comes from the Lord. Yes, amen? We can agree with that, yeah? Some of us have more character and, well, you know, that's due to my wife. Laugh, yeah. I'd have no character if it wasn't for her. But grace plus love plus mercy equals sanctification. That's our GED. Grace, love, and mercy equals the blood covering and sanctification. GED program is not easy. It's very hard. God will stretch you. God will put you in places that you would never imagine that you'd be put into. God will bring people to you to talk just out of the whim at Walmart. When you're having a horrible day, you don't feel good, you got your fuzzy pajama pants on because you're going to get medication because you don't feel good, guess what? There's a million other people that have fuzzy pants on, don't feel good, and they're at Walmart getting medication, and you talk to them. And you start becoming part of their lives for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and guess what? They're suffering from the exact same thing you are, and at that time, and at that moment, guess what? Shh. Calm yourself. give them the love of God. Pastor I study under says this. This is his saying, and I keep using it. So eventually he says, if you use it enough, it's not my saying, it's your saying, but I'm going to give him the credit. Amazing man, Pastor Phil. One day your natural talents will not take you to a place where your character cannot stand without the help of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what talents you have. If it's an embroidery shop, if you're a farmer, if you're making dog kibble at Purina, or if, you know what I mean, if you're selling cars at Cunis, it doesn't matter. But you know what the talent we do have and the abilities we do have is the blood of Christ. Right? Amen? We have that understanding of who he is. And some of what I'm going over today might seem very basic for us, but that's okay. Because guess what? If you go over it, over it, over it, over it, those who do not believe 100% will eventually believe in trial, and they'll believe in vision, and they'll believe by working of hands. In other words, doing it. Grace is the love and mercy God gives us that we do not deserve. He desires us to have it. He gives it to us. It's not something at all that we should have, but it's a gift. Something that is handed to us. Something that we have the choice, yes or no, to accept. I have two words here. They're Greek. And when I was reading this, they popped up. Sanctification, Greek, means hagiasmos, okay? It means this. It says the process of becoming holy, holiness or sanctified, to make clean, hagiasmos, is taking in the transformation of becoming. And that's what God wants for us, through the blood of Christ, right? And that's the only way we'll ever get there, is that covering and that ability going, all right, God, I know who you are. Genesis 1, it talks about it. I understand that. I know who Christ is because you said in our image, so therefore he had to be there. So I know that you are the creator and maker of everything. I know you formed me from the dust and you blew life into me. Where's my anxiety? Amen? If I can understand that basic principle, where is it? He makes us royalty. He has cleaned us to the point where I know when it comes judgment time, I know where I'm going to be. That I have a protective covering over me. The second word is this. It says grace, mercy, and sanctification. Greek is hagios. Nobody has an idea. Ready? Here's very simple. Hagios. How about saint? Saint is what that means. That once you have been sanctified through sanctification, once you understand who God is and accept him, you have become holy and pure and worthy and cleansed, valuable. It's only after we accept Christ. I think of it like this, as a baker, as somebody who's cooked for many years. If you make ganache, anybody know what ganache is? It's plate licking worthy, I'll put it that way. I won't say anything to anybody about that. Right? But you take this chocolate, and for years we always imported our chocolate from Swiss. And we use from Switzerland. And it's so good when you take a knife to it and you bust a small piece off and you stick it on your tongue and you go, And you feel it's got so much fat in it. You start to feel it just float on your tongue and dissolve. And what you do now is you take that chocolate and you bust it up. And then from there you set it aside and you take a double boiler. All right, so a pan with water and a bowl. And in that bowl you put double fat cream. Oh, it's so good that you gain calories by looking at the container, right? And you take that, and now you put that fat, fortified, rich chocolate in the cream, and you start warming it up. And all of a sudden, it starts breaking down, and you start whisking it and moving it. And all of a sudden, the two marry together. And they get gorgeous, and they get nice and shiny and get a sheen on them. And you keep going, and when it's 100% done, you set it off to the side, and you let it cool. And from there, you make your cake, you know, something boring with like a hazelnut crust and, you know, nice truffle chocolate in the middles, nice boring cake. And you set it on a rack and you pour this ganache over it. And guess what happens? it forms this beautiful layer over the top of it. Do you understand what I mean by now, sanctification? Do you understand that beating that chocolate is the bruises that Christ took for us? That cream, that fortification, is that Holy Spirit in there that has been taken, married together. And the pouring over the cake is the blood of Christ being poured over us. That we have been sanctified. We are pure. We are holy. Where's my anxiety? Where's my drug abuse? Where's my any situation? Throw it in there. It doesn't matter. If we understand the basic concepts and principles of who Christ is and who our God is, we should have none of that. Will we struggle? Oh, we're going to struggle. But guess what we have? We can step back, calm ourselves, get our mental side and our physical side under control. Psalms 24, 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up. You ancient doors, the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up. You ancient doors, the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? He is the Lord mighty. He is a King of glory. David here is talking about triumphal entry into Jerusalem. David just won a battle, and guess what? He's celebrating now. He's going to Jerusalem. Can you imagine having the army behind you and the fortifications around the walls, and they're there. He's coming up, and he's praying. He's saying, lift up, you heads. Lift up, you doors. He's calling for everything, all fortifications to be lifted out of the way. Foundations, the gates and doors that protect the people within. David's telling them to open and honor the Lord. Lift up your heads and be proud of our Lord who has prevailed. You know, as a father, it's a hard thing to see your children stumble, hang their head low. Same way with your wife. But it's our jobs, men. It's our jobs to enrich them with the Word. It's our jobs to enrich them with the Holy Spirit. It's our jobs to hold them up. And when they're low, guess what we can say? Honey, you're having a bad day. Lift your head. You're royalty. Son, I know things are horrible. And I can do nothing. But what I can offer you is the grace of God. What I can offer you is the ability to come to Him and to understand who He is. That is the best gift as a parent that we could ever give to our kids. So at that time of emotion, when our anxiety's kicking in or whatever emotion, fear, fight or flight, whatever it is, we stop. We calm ourselves. When we want to weep for our children, we calm ourselves long enough to express who our God is. You know, perception is everything. The fact that we get up every day, some of us shower before we go to bed, some of us shower in the morning, whatever, but we get up. Those of us who shave every day, right? And there's a reason we do our hair. We don't want bedhead. Well, really, why is that? There's a reason we put certain clothes on or certain shoes on. There's a reason we might put oil on our hair. There's a reason for all that, and it's our perception. Our external perception lets everybody know how we are. Can we agree with that? Yeah? There's days I don't want to do anything. I'll throw the dirty jeans on from yesterday and go to work, whatever. But that's not who our God is. That's not who God has made us. That's not who God wants us to be. You know who he wants us to be? He wants us to be that chocolate ganache cake. He wants us to go, okay, Lord, cover me. Pour it on me, Lord. Let me know what I have to do. Guide me, direct me. And that's what David's talking about here. He's talking directly to the fortifications. Lift it up. Get it out of the way. Everybody, Jerusalem, celebrate. Guess why? Because he is strong in battle. He is our God. He is the one who has done everything for us now, yesterday, and the day to come. He's the one who did it in the past. He's the one who is there tomorrow. He's the one who is there now. That is who our God is. And we don't, and we cannot, and we will not ever be successful without God. I'm talking long-term successful. That our bodies, Vince has talked about it, our bodies and our here and now, that's all it is here and now. But what I look forward to is going home. What I am looking forward to is going, Elisha, you're the guy. How'd you do it? Elijah, really? You kept oil? Or better yet, come forth. Jesus, that was amazing. Didn't he stink? No, I healed him inside. He come out beautiful and gorgeous as a babe. That's what I look forward to. That's what keeps me founded. So again, I ask this, is how does Matthew and Psalms relate? David creates the question of the kingdom and who is allowed in the kingdom. Here in Matthew, we get the exact same question of the kingdom and who is allowed. Matthew 25, 31 through 33. When the Son of Man comes to his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit at his glorious throne, all the nations gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as shepherd separates his sheep and goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. This vision is exciting for me in two parts. The reason it's exciting is because I know where I stand. Guess what? You've got God the Father, right? Ready? God the Father. Then you got who? Who? And then who do you got? And then us. Right? Guess what, folks? We're royalty. God took that ganache and poured it over all of us. With that blood, we are royalty. That I know when I go to that point, I hope and I pray I stay on a path that I'm on this side. That everything goes well, that my wife and my sons are on this side. And my mom, I love her. That she's on this side. She'll be there before me because she's old. But on this side, I love you, Mom. But that's okay because she won the race, right? That's okay because guess what? Without her, I wouldn't be here today. That's okay. Without Dad, I wouldn't be here today. That's okay. Because my family members from long, long ago that served the church, guess what? They're going to go, I think he's going to make it. They're up there now. I think he's going to make it. I don't know that for sure, but thinking wise. I look forward to that. Now, on the downside is, what about our family members that are on this side? Right? That is not a beautiful picture for me. What about the ones who are dealing with issues and emotions and don't know how to control them? Can't we just come alongside and say, I know you're going through a hard time, and I'm not going to preach at you, but I'm going to tell you what's going on with me right now. I'm going to tell you what I have seen that works for me right now. This is what it is. You don't have to tell them Jesus yet, right? It's like fly fishing. You throw it out there, pull it back real fast, and hope that eventually on the second toss they hook it and you can bring them in. little pieces, little crumbs. That vision of seeing us there is comforting to me. That if I pull everything together and have the ability to calm my emotions, I'm not going to say something hateful or rude after being spited by somebody. That I'm going to go, oh, that's okay, they're just having a bad day, and I'm going to talk to my wife and whine and cry, and she's going to say, what do you expect? They don't know Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's right, they don't know Jesus. And you continue loving them and guiding them and directing them. And even though they don't want you as a friend, guess what your job is to do? Is to be a friend. All the nations will be gathered. This is not a partial list. This is not all the Catholics. This is not all the Lutheran. This is not all the Baptists. This is not, did I go far enough? This is not all the, I am such a good person. I do all this for the city. That's not what this list is. Guess what this list is? It's sheep or goats. Like this. Sorry, I got it backwards. That's all this list is. That the sheep will go to one side and the goats will go to the other. Not the Catholics, Lutherans, blah, 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 will go to one side. Or tell you what, the Church of God will go to one side. It's not. It's the church will go to one side. The church. That's us globally will go to one side. And the non-church, non-believers, the non-I love Jesus, unfortunately, will go to the other side. That is the part. If you have anxiety, emotions, fear, and trembling, that is the fear we should have. Matthew 25, 34 through 36. The king will say to those on the right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take the inheritance of the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to me. The final judgment is a marvelous thing for saved, for the church, right? Amen? For us, it's a marvelous thing. For the ones who are not saved, it is not. I have a couple notes here. It says, for I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I needed clothes, I was sick, I was in prison. Vince talked a few weeks ago about our works and what we need to do to help influence the kingdom. How about food? I find it humorous that it was God and Jesus thought food was number one. Who likes to eat? Oh, yeah, we all do, right? Yeah, Alan, I love you, buddy. Right? We all love to eat. Isn't food the number one way to reach out to somebody? I mean, obvious with our sneeze guards on, we can't really do that real well. Right? Our protection. Food is the number one source of comfort to somebody. Somebody's not having a good day. Somebody has somebody that is sick. Somebody is just struggling. Divorce, marital issues, tell you what, children issues, name it, it's endless. Feed them. This is like the mission statement here. Water, necessary for existence, is it not? We build wells, we take and go overseas and do wells for people, right? You have to have water. How about inviting some of us in? Some are better at this than I am. They invite you to their home. Hey, come on over. What are we having? Cake and coffee. All right, come on over. Invite them in, right? Reach out to them. Invite them in. Clothing. Need I say more? In your boxes of those gifts, you take the tags, and inside the box, whoever it is, guess what? Make a little card out. Jesus loves you. Put a verse in there. This is why he loves you. It's because you're great. Why? Because in Genesis, he created you. Guess what? He loves you. Clothing. Clothing on the fire department. There's nothing worse. Ready? Everybody listening? There's nothing worse than a 3 a.m. fire call. And mom, dad, and two kids are standing outside. And as a first responder, be it ambulance, First responder being police officer, first responder being a fire protection. There's nothing worse than showing up on scene, seeing them in their robes and everything burning and you can't do anything for them. First cross, Red Cross, is not fast enough. If we hear of something like that, how hard is it to go, what can we do? How can I go about doing something? They're in our county. How can we do something? Sickness, obviously not so much now, hospital visits. But hey, tell you what, how many of you have these? Come on. Yeah, we all have them. Can't we write letters? Oh, we don't write letters anymore. That's right, we text. LOL, right? I love you. ILOVU, right? Take the time. Send a text out. Hey, I know you're in a hospital. I hope everything is well. I'm praying for you. We love you. We hope you get better. Blah. You're done. How about prison ministry? Has anybody ever done prison ministry? You know, I have. There's nothing more rewarding than going into a prison and getting there and sitting down and listening to those inmates sing. Their hearts, guess what? I'm sure they don't have any anxiety because their hearts are flowing from God like you could never imagine. We're going to close with this, and then we got a last song. Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Then the righteous will answer him. Guess what? That's us, church. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? When did we clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters, you did for me. This is our mission statement. So how can we get past anxiety and fear and apprehension? And how do we get past all that? Am I beating in? Yes, I'm beating it in today. Because a lot of us don't want to admit that we deal with it. How do we get past it? Do the Lord's work. Because that work that we do brings joy. That work that we do calms us. If we're doing it, will we ever have to answer and say, Lord, I don't know. We're in the process of doing it. So let's play that last song, then I'll come up and pray and dismiss.
Deliver me out of the sadness. Deliver me from all of the madness. Deliver me, courage to guide me. Sadness.
I think David Crowder said it beautifully. Deliver me. That should be our prayer. In times, just if you listen to that, that bass drum, when it's our blood pressure. Deliver me. Let's pray. Blessed Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your home, your house, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the church family. Bless us and guide us. Fill our hearts, Lord, with wisdom and clarity. Fill us, Lord, with peace. Cover us, Lord, like that ganache cake, Lord. Pour upon us. Protect us in ways we can never imagine. Help us to have a great week. Help us, Lord, to most of all, everything that comes from our mouths, be wonderful in your ears. Let us see what you see, Lord. Guide us unto our paths. Amen. In the back of the offering plates and tithe place, please put your tithe and offering in there. And on your way out, have a beautiful week. I appreciate it. Thank you.